The Great Commission in Matthew 28. Then the 11 disciples went to Galilee, to the mountain where Jesus has told them to go. When they saw him, they worshipped him, but some doubted. Then Jesus came to them and said, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And surely I am with you always, to the very end of the age. Amen."
Thank you. We can take a seat. Thanks, Amelia.
Well, good morning, everyone. Well, my husband, Paul, and I have been attending CBC for about 12 years now. And in that time, God has blessed us with two beautiful boys, Jonathan, who is 6 years old, and Isaac, who is 3. And hopefully you can see a picture of us up on the screen there. That's my little fam. I must admit to you, though, after hearing about our beautiful sister in Cambodia, Chirep, I do feel a little inadequate speaking to you this morning. I have two children and she's got 25. So, yeah, it's amazing. God does entrust us differently. Amen. It's my privilege to speak with you today as we celebrate Mother's Day. Now, you can probably guess from the ages of my children that I'm in a season where one is in primary school and one is in preschool. Things I'm currently enjoying about this season are I'm loving walking to school with my six-year-old. He still lets me hold hands, so I do every time because I don't know how long he'll let me do that. And we often discuss a myriad of topics on the way to school, mostly maths and science-related questions. Yeah, keeps me on my toes. And with my three-year-old, I'm enjoying his hilarious sense of humour and his cuddly and affectionate nature. He is a smooth talker and he often tells me how much he loves me, which I find irresistible. Now, when I was asked to share with you about the season of mothering that I'm currently in, I had an image or some words that kind of immediately popped into my mind, and I've put them up on the screen for us this morning. I'll read it to you. It says, "My brain is like an internet browser. 17 tabs are open, 9 of them are not responding, and I have no idea where that annoying music is coming from." Can anyone else relate? Woohoo! Thank you. The thing is, if you can't manage to shut down some of these tabs or to shut down the busyness that leads to feeling this way, you're at risk of receiving the next message. You have too many tabs open. Parents, is this right? Anyone else like this? How do you even know what's important when you've got that much stuff going on? It's hard to keep track. Well, one of the things that God is currently teaching me is that there is a purpose in every season and that I need to keep a big picture perspective of life in mind. Now, this can be easy for me to forget when the washing is no longer something that can be ticked off a to-do list because it never seems complete anymore, or when previously completed milestones like toilet training magically reappear on the work in progress list again and seem to spend more time on work in progress second time round than the first, or when every healthy dinner that you lovingly prepare for your children is met with ear-piercing emotional breakdown of how unfair it is that they should have to eat this food and then it ultimately goes in the bin anyway. Or how about just when mothering sometimes feels like a bunch of logistical transactions, driving here, sport there, making more lunch or more cleaning. But with God's help, I'm learning that God has not forgotten me. He knows the desires of my heart, both in my attempts to raise our children according to his ways and with regards to other things outside of the home. I can certainly remember a time not that long ago when I was getting up several times a night to screaming refluxy babies and wondering how on earth I was going to function the next day. I used to pray to God, God, would you please help my children to sleep, help them to settle and to stay asleep for long enough that I could just get a rest. But it felt like God's response to that prayer was no, or at least not yet. And so I must admit I became a little discouraged, and I thought I need to change what I'm asking of God. And so I changed and asked him, Lord, if decent or lengthy sleep is not on the cards for me in this season, could you please help sustain me throughout the day and help me to achieve whatever you have put on my agenda for that day? And not only that, can you help me to be happy with that? We can trust God to equip, sustain, and teach us for each moment's challenge by giving us patience, courage, and persistence. The Bible is full of God's promises in this regard, and give us clarity, confidence, and direction, or whatever it is we need for each moment, if we simply trust Him. I can certainly say that God changed my perspective of how I saw my day and the definition of what a successful day of mothering looked like. This extended period of sleep deprivation, though, has provided opportunities to question everything and reevaluate how we spent our time. This season was definitely an opportunity to clean slate of our family calendar and all the activities in it, and to reprioritize how our time was spent. I'm thankful that God and my husband helped me with this. Something else I used to cry out to God in this season was, can you still use me outside of the home, God? And when is it okay to desire this? And please, could I be involved with some adult conversation and occasionally not have to wash or clean anything? It is a miracle. Having progressed from the baby phase, I believe God has started to answer some of these earlier prayers. He's opened doors for me to demonstrate that He loves and cares about all areas of my life. For me at the moment, this means serving as a youth leader or as a director on the Sim Australian board. These ways I'm currently serving were a surprise to me when they began. However, they demonstrate that God has a purpose for every season and He's worthy of our trust. I'm also able to work part-time that provides me with the flexibility to put my family first. I consider this a reminder that He cares about me and that He hears my cry. Something else I'm learning is to find the glorious within the mundane. I'm extremely grateful that God blessed Paul and I with children. In this season, they command time, attention, and affection. And whilst I have a personality that enjoys organising things and efficient processes, sometimes I struggle with the amount of life admin or home logistics that seem to be required to keep a family functioning. But God's word has provided much encouragement to me, particularly for this challenging time of finding glorious in the mundane. I can't help but think the Great Commission that Carol read for us earlier has direct instruction for parents and the many disciples that He's entrusted to us. Jesus instructs His people to teach others about Jesus Christ and the entirety of His truth. And as parents, our mission field is growing under our own roof. And that is part of our call to raise eternal beings for kingdom purposes. And this is no insignificant task, and has encouraged me to view my role as mother through this lens. Further help has been found in 2 Timothy 4:2, where it says, "Preach the word, be prepared in season and out of season, correct, rebuke, and encourage with great patience and careful instruction." Part of God's word that's always stuck in my mind ever since I was a teenager was found at the beginning of Romans 12, where it says, "In view of God's mercy, offer your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. This is your true and proper worship." Since becoming a mum, this idea of our bodies becoming a living sacrifice has certainly taken on new meaning. When we keep this commission and big picture in mind, even the most everyday errands can carry new purpose. In those seemingly mundane tasks, you are being the hands of Jesus. Something else God is teaching me is that my weakness is welcome with Him. Mothering is not about getting it right every time, but modelling Jesus to our kids, even though we aren't perfect like He is. It's important to be able to be open enough to acknowledge this to our children. Jesus says in 2 Corinthians 12:9, "My grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness. Therefore, I will boast all the more gladly about my weaknesses, so that Christ's power may rest on me." I think this verse can be so freeing if you let it. Recently, I went through a season where I was not able to give my children as much time as I had previously, because my father was sick and in hospital. And in order to help my mum, I committed to visiting Dad 3 to 4 times a week so that I could play an active role in advocating for him. However, I certainly felt the gaps that I was leaving at home. Sure, the domestic duties were falling behind, which is not normally okay in our house. But I was more concerned about staying on top of reading and homework, particularly for Jonathan. When faced with absence from my kids and husband, I pursued worship and prayer. I suddenly had a lot of alone time in the car with God on the way to hospital to sing my heart out or to pray or to just be silent and let the Holy Spirit minister to me as song lyrics washed over my heart. As the Bible says, "For the spirit of heaviness, put on a garment of praise." Obviously, this was not getting the homework or reading done, but I do believe it protected my family when I could not be with them and certainly helped me to think about different things in light of my father, who was obviously sick as well. We still got through most of Jonathan's homework, but it wasn't our best. And I had certainly been distracted when we were together, so quality time was really low. I knew I needed to apologise to Jonathan. So one morning I carved out some time for him and I to just be alone before school. And I said to Jonathan, "Hey, darling, I just wanted to say that I'm really sorry. I know I haven't been there for you lately. I haven't given you the time that I'm used to. And I'm sure I've let you down in many ways. And I just want you to know that I'm sorry about that." Well, can you guess what his response was? He said, "That's okay, Mum. You haven't let me down. I know you needed to look after Grandpa." How sweet is that? But even more important, how awesome is our God? He answered my prayer and worked through my weakness. He stepped into the gaps that I was leaving, and he used my 6-year-old to comfort me and to bring me peace. So, if your brain feels like an internet browser with too many tabs open, stop what you're doing and cry out to God and ask Him to equip and sustain you and help you figure out the priority for that moment. Or if you're in a season that doesn't particularly excite you, I encourage you to ask God, "What is it that you want me to learn?" Because I guarantee there's something He's wanting to show you. God has not forgotten you, and you can find the glorious in the mundane if you partner with God's power in your areas of weakness. I invite Jill to come and pray for us now.
Thank you, Amelia. I really appreciated what you had to say, and we're all being blessed by your season of life. Thank you. Let's join together in prayer. Father, we thank you that you are a God who cares deeply about the season of life that each of us are in. Lord, how encouraged are we to see how faithful you have been in Amelia's life for the window of sight into what she's going through at this stage. Lord, across our congregation this morning are so many different seasons represented, whether it be a new mum that's sleep deprived, or the mother of an active toddler that's exhausted, or a special needs child, or the challenges that come with the teenage years. Father, we thank you that you are so interested in our lives, that you care so much about us, and that the promises of your word are there for each of us, no matter where we're at in the season of life. Father, we praise you this morning that we can come confident into your presence and know that you offer the strength, the wisdom, the guidance, the understanding, the love, and all that we need to live our lives in a way that you would have designed us to, and to bring honour and glory to you. Father, I pray for all women in our congregation this morning, for mums, for grandmas, for aunties, for women who have the opportunity to influence others by their prayers and the way they model the life of Jesus. I pray, Father, that you will use us to impact the next generation, that they will see what it means to put you first in their lives, and that they would come to know you as their Lord and Saviour. Father, today is a happy day for many. We rejoice as we see these young lives entrusted to us growing and flourishing, finding faith in you and doing what you created them to do. But Lord, for others, there's a sadness. This day brings disappointment and sad memories, perhaps bereavement and grief. And I pray for these ladies, Lord, that you would bring healing and comfort, that you would surround them with your loving arms. Father, you care about women. Your word speaks about them. You heard the cry of Samuel's mum. Lord, so many women that reached out to you and you ministered to them, we thank you that you are a faithful God. We pray, Lord, that we would be faithful in following the teachings of your word, and that we will model well what it means to be committed to following you to those that have been entrusted to us. We know, Lord, that a woman who fears you is to be praised. And Lord, it is our desire as Christian women across this congregation that we might fear you, that we might hold you in front of us, Lord, number one, commitment to you, and that you will use that to as a witness and a testimony to the younger generation. Father, we thank you for the seasons of life that are represented, and as Deb comes to speak to us, we thank you for what you are doing in her life and for the children that have been entrusted to her and her grandchildren, and we look forward to what you will bring to us through her, in the name of Jesus. Amen.
Good morning. I'm Debbie Wallace, and I think my family's going to be up there. My husband, Brent, our daughter, Lacey, and her husband, Sam. There's Audrey and Primrose, their kids. And then down in the corner is our son, Lawson, who is serving as a missionary in the Middle East. And then in the green, our Bronte. I've been asked to share from the perspective of my stage of life. I'm a mother, a grandmother, a mother-in-law, an auntie, a sister, a daughter. I have kids in their 20s and a teenager. I have grandkids. I have parents in heaven and elderly parents here on earth. Not sure what stage I fit into really there, but there's definitely some hindsight advantage. There's the cutting edge of teen parenting and the joy and blessing of grandparenting. In my family growing up, I was the youngest of four, but by 12 years old, I was the only child at home because my siblings were all well on their way to becoming a cardiac surgeon, an aerospace engineer, with a master's of theology. And worried, I went to my father one day and I said, what happens if all I want to be is a mother? And I'll never forget his response. He said, if God calls you to be a mother, then you do it. With all your heart and to God's glory. That was very freeing for me. And I'll never, I do believe motherhood is a calling. If you have the gift of a child, then you've been called to the ministry of motherhood as well. One of my go-to books for encouragement and motivation is a book by that title, The Ministry of Motherhood by Sally Clarkson. She talks about using Jesus' example as he taught his disciples as a model for biblical parenting. Can Jesus' example of training be anything but perfect? This morning, I'd like to explore a few of the things Jesus taught his disciples that we can use in our own lives and also to teach our kids. He taught them to pray. Jesus' words to his disciples were often about prayer, not only teaching them how to pray through the Lord's Prayer, but also teaching them ways to approach prayer. So we also want to train our children in prayer by making it a daily habit. We had a good reminder of this over Christmas. We spent time with extended family, and one of my sisters-in-law, Jody, she must have prayed with Audrey like 10 times a day. Oh, Audrey hurt herself. Let's ask Jesus to help you heal. Oh, Audrey's sad. Let's ask Jesus to fix that. You know, after Jody left, I noticed Audrey saying, I think we should pray to Jesus about this. It was just a great reminder of the verse, pray without ceasing, creating a habit of prayer in our kids. A helpful thing that we've done in the past is a prayer journal where we just wrote the date and the prayer request, and then over here, the date answered and how God answered it. It didn't seem like a big deal at the time, but when we look back, we saw how he had answered prayer after prayer, and it was just that hindsight really built our faith. When we take time to pray, it causes wonderful things to happen, not only in our lives, but all over the world. How could we do any of this parenting job without God's help? Prayer is like a partnership with God and us on the job. I've always said, parenting Lawson brought me to my knees, and then I discovered that was the best place to be. We are all being influenced and discipled by something, even now as adults. So imagine how much more young children are being influenced by what's surrounding them. Jesus taught his disciples about eternity. I grew up as a blonde, blue-eyed child, missionary kid, in a crowded city of black-haired, brown-eyed people. I was a foreigner in the place that I called home. But this gave me a unique perspective on the fact that our real home is in heaven. Not in this world. We are citizens of heaven, and we are to be in this world, but not of it. If we purposefully do things differently and tell our children they are different, then they can grow up acting differently to the people around them and be okay with that. Like Jesus, we can teach our kids to live with an eternal perspective, putting our treasures in heaven instead of on earth. In order to do this, though, they can't hear us measure their success by this world's standards. If we teach them through our words or actions, even subtly, that being a success in this world is somehow a measure of their importance and success, then we've actually contradicted Jesus' teaching. Just look at the story of the rich young ruler. Jesus instructs that a true measure of success is our faith, our faithfulness, and our obedience. Is our message to our kids the same? Here's another encouragement about having an eternal perspective. If our kids learn to aim for eternity, then they can have hope now, no matter what bullying or anxiety or illness or trial comes to them in life. 1 John 2:25 says, "This is the promise which he himself made to us, eternal life. Unending, perfect, fulfilled life. No pain, no death, no evil. Just an eternity spent in the company of love himself.
Amen.
What else? Jesus taught his disciples to expect tribulation. This may sound a bit melodramatic for Mother's Day, but in Matthew 10:38 and 39, it says, "He who does not take his cross and follow me is not worthy of me. He who has found life will lose it, but he who has lost his life for my sake will find it." In John 16:33, Jesus teaches his disciples that sometimes following him would cost them, when he said, "In this world you will have tribulation." And again in John 15:18, "If the world hates you, you know that it hated me before it hated you." We can't always keep difficulty away from our children, but we can walk with them through hard times and help them learn how to trust God in the midst of them. Also, we can show them through our own responses to tribulation a pattern to follow. He taught them to think. We describe young children as sponges. Sponges soak up stuff. Their minds will soak up something. Brain training is happening. Who do we want to be teaching them how to think? If it's not you, it will be someone. I heard about a recent interview of an HSC student coming up to their first time voting. And when asked what were the issues their peers considered most important in the upcoming election, they said, "Gender fluidity and climate change." Is this what we want our children's minds soaked with? The Bible tells us, "Set our minds on things above. Walk in the light as he is in the light." 1 John 1:7. "Fill our thoughts with his promises." We have to reject thoughts that make us fearful and train our minds to think the right thoughts and believe the things that Jesus told us are true. Jesus told his disciples that he would always be with him and not to be afraid. Isaiah 41:10, "Fear not, for I am with you. Be not dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you. I will help you. I will hold you with my victorious right hand." You've heard the term helicopter parenting. It's come to be a fairly derogatory term for extreme attention to our children's physical safety. Well, I think God has given us responsibility for extreme attention to our children's mental and spiritual safety. We need to vigilantly guard what goes into their minds and hearts and then fill their minds with truth. But what are some practical ways to do this? Help them memorize scripture. They can do this from a really surprisingly young age. God promises that his word that we have hidden in our heart will be used for good. Turn off the square screens. Allow them time to talk to you. Think about what you are marinating your children in. I always say, you can't marinate your kids in tandoori and expect them to taste like satay. Get some good books that teach science from a Christian perspective so they can know that God is the author of science. A well-trained mind helps children resist temptation, overcome fear, and rely on the Holy Spirit when they need wisdom. We learned this in the recent apprenticeship series. We talked about the importance of guarding our own minds and thoughts as adults. So how much more young sponge minds? Lastly, let's take a look at Jesus' teaching that display his disciples by example. if we ask God for opportunities, and if we walk closely with Him ourselves, we can often grab opportunities in the mundane routine of life, like Amelia said, to incorporate in our conversations, activities, mentoring in faith. As a young mother, I decided in the interests of keeping my children's minds free from worldly junk that I would cut out TV from our lives. Just temporarily, I thought, while my kids were watching me. Guess what I found out? They're still watching me. And now I have even more eyes watching me. Our mentoring roles never end. Persistent, diligent, loving training is a gift we give our children, but it's also a gift we give ourselves and the rest of the world. Let me give you an example. I remember getting down in the face of my challenging four-year-old son. It was a tense moment, a frustrating tug of war, a power struggle, one of many before and after this moment. And I said, "You know, Lawson, God gave you to me because He knew I was strong. He knew you were strong, but He knew I was stronger. And one day you will thank me that I am not going to let you be the boss. Because if you don't learn how to obey me, how will you ever learn how to obey God?" 20 years on, I was talking to him recently on the phone and whinging about something I thought was unjust in my life. And I was blown away by the wise counsel he gave me. Now, what a joy it is to have grown children who can bless me with godly wisdom. And that's why I say training is a gift we give them and ourselves. In Deuteronomy 6:7, we are told about teaching biblical principles. Impress them on your children. Talk about them when you sit down at home, when you walk along the road, when you lie down, when you rise up. This describes the idea of every day, not one day. God gave your children to you. They're your responsibility. But just as Jesus trained his disciples for 3 years every day, and they still didn't really get it, not really, until the Holy Spirit came, so training is all in preparation and partnership with the Holy Spirit to come into their lives so they can really get it. As older parents, we may think our job is over, but we can all still be positive, inspirational role models to our adult children and others through our relationship with Jesus. May God help us.
Amen. Thank you, Deb, and thank you, Amelia. We have been so blessed today, haven't we, church? I want you to think about just in this moment, just to take a moment from what Amelia shared and what Deb shared. What's your take home today? Especially, it's not just for women, us guys. There's a lot in all of that. What did the Spirit of God impress upon your heart? Take a moment. We so often just rush to the next thing. Think about the people you influence. Doesn't always just have to be little people. Many of us here have adult children, don't we? What has God impressed on your heart today? What are you going to take from here? What do you want to apply? Why don't we just take a moment to let the Spirit just move in our thoughts and our minds? Why don't we open ourselves up again? We're here today with great faith in Jesus Christ, and some are searching out Jesus, but we're also here in the presence of God, who loves his children, who worship him. God is the greatest caregiver of all. Our Father, would you speak to us in these moments as our sister Amelia and Deb has shared. Father, what do you want to impress on our hearts today? Speak to us, Lord. Father, as we worship your holy name again, as we consider our relationships with those around us, and as we even feel a sense of sadness today for those that have passed on, or relationships that are strained, or children that are making unwise choices and we feel afraid, Lord, come to us. Gently lead us as we seek to love those around us. Lord, help us to put into action what you've impressed upon our hearts and our minds in these moments. Give us the boldness to make a small step in a godly direction to bring life to others, especially our children. And with your help, God, we know we can. So, Lord, as we stand together in faith, Lord Jesus, would you come and would you stir within us a great joy that we would burst forth from this place, Lord Jesus, with your joy in our hearts coming from you as a gift, that would be our strength to put into action what you've impressed upon our hearts today. In Jesus' name, amen.